Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, Praise God, based on Jude chapter 20, verses 25. Mrs. Judy Tupel will be at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It's good to be with you here on this Christ the King Sunday. It also happens to be the last Sunday of the church year as we start to begin moving into the Advent season, and Christmas is coming quick with the coming of our Lord. This morning, we are focusing specifically on Christ and upon his sovereignty and on his power to rule all things well. For he is indeed working all things together for our good. For you who love God and are called according to his purpose, he is orchestrating all things for your benefit. May we rest in this truth this morning and sing in thanksgiving our first hymn, number 525. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, the Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your glorious return, we may persevere in both faith and holiness of living. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Jude. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. I imagine that for many of us, the book of Jude is very unfamiliar. And yet, as we have it, we had this morning the rare opportunity to read from it. For Jude wrote the epistle reading, which is now before us. And I imagine that Jude is unfamiliar because it only comes up once in our lectionary. In fact, every 3 years, Jude appears once and only as an optional alternate reading. Needless to say, then, we Lutherans don't read from this book very often. And we can partially attribute that fact to the fact that it is so short of a book. It has no chapters. And in all honesty, you could go home and read through the entire book in less than 5 minutes. And afterwards, when you did that, you would be able to arrive in heaven, walk up to Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, and say, I read your book. How awesome would that be to say? In fact, for us who have been Christians for a while, I pray that when that day finally does come, we could say that to all of the Bible's authors. When we are one day brought into paradise and united with all the saints who have gone before us, how great it would be to be able to say to Obadiah, to Jude, to Habakkuk, to Isaiah, I have read y'all's book. I saw how the Spirit moved you to write. And I saw how he used you to write letters and make himself known to the world. And since we have such a rare opportunity to hear from Jude this Sunday morning, I want us to dive into this short book together. For as we'll see, Jude's message is one that ought to truly ring down through the ages. Jude starts his letter off by saying how he had originally hoped to write about salvation. Before he had actually sat down to begin writing, he says that he originally intended to write about how sinners are saved. And we can very much imagine that if Jude actually did write upon this matter, it would have simply echoed everything that has already been said. For if Jude would have written about salvation, I'm sure that he would essentially just ended up parroting everything that's already been said. For what more can be said that's not already found elsewhere in Scripture? If Jude went through this plan, he would have mirrored what has gone before. I like to picture Jude thinking to himself, I intended and was very eager to write to you concerning salvation, but again, what more could be said? For by this time, Paul has already written saying, it is by grace you are saved through faith. Paul has already said that salvation is a gift of God apart from works, lest anyone should boast. The gospel writers, by this time likewise, have already written their accounts of Jesus. They've already recorded on paper the testimony of Christ, saying, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. By the time that Jude comes along, all of this is so well documented, that Christ died for the ungodly, that God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Salvation is a work of God, and here we are chosen by God to be conformed into the image of his Son since before the foundation of the world. You can read throughout Scripture, and it all gives the same testimony. Almost every page speaks about how salvation is a free gift and a gracious work of God. Salvation is all of God who forgives sins and makes sinners whole. For that is the work which Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Like a lamb led to be slaughtered, he remained silent, carrying the sins of the world upon Mount Calvary, and their suffering, bleeding, and dying for the sins of the world. What more could Jude add to such a beautiful and magnificent doctrine? Anyone who desires to know about the topic of salvation already has the full record of this truth. It's all written down and attested to in Scripture. And so right at the beginning, that was what Jude says he intended to write about. But what more could be said? What has been left unsaid? And so it is, as he finally sits down to write, the Spirit of God moved him to write concerning something else. As Jude will say in verse 3, I found it necessary, though, to write to you, contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And so what follows then is a brief appeal for Christians to contend for the faith assert it, hold fast to it, never compromise upon it, fight for it. For truly, there will arise threats from both inside and outside the church. People will arise from all around you, seeking to lead you astray. They will even prove to arise from among you. And so by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Jude says, contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Hold it fast and be of one mind of Paul, as he says, even if an angel from heaven were to preach a different gospel, let him be accursed. Anyone who tries teaching a different gospel, cut him off from your holy assembly. For they do not belong to the flock of God, but rather they should prove to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Jude doesn't see this as some insignificant threat, but rather he says, be on guard, be watchful. How easily are people led astray, and their end is the same, for it is destruction. There is judgment and death on the other side of those who rebel against the Lord. As Jude then continues laying down the foundation, he starts by pulling examples from history. He picks up the examples of the Israelites freed from Egypt, who then later fell away. He brings up the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, who reached new levels of debauchery and incurred the wrath of God upon them. And he even refers to the angels in heaven who rebelled against the sovereign Lord and have been destined for the lake of fire. Learn from each of these examples, Jude says, and learn from them the importance of contending for the faith. For the testimony of the Bible, of history, and of our own lives should all suggest the same fact, that it is easy for us to fall away. The sinfulness of man has made it easy for us to slip into the mire. And how easy it is to turn from the Lord and to reject him. Look back through history and see how entire nations and people groups have done so themselves. History is full of these examples. Whole communities have denied the Lord. One after another, societies have reversed course. Societies and people once Christian have routinely fallen from their God. Within one or two generations, families have moved from having such fiery devotion towards God to having virtually no faith at all. And it seems as if individuals, in a moment's time, we can reject our baptismal faith. Oh, just look at the Israelites, Jude says. They were saved by God's grace. They witnessed his power and love. They saw signs and wonders of his strength. They saw firsthand of God's mercy and of his faithfulness. The Israelites received blessings and provisions directly from the hands of our compassionate, never-failing God. And yet see how quickly they fall. And see how quickly we can fall also. For, dear friends, the same sinful nature that is found in the people of Israel is found within our own hearts also. By nature, corrupt, sinful man is inclined to fall away. And by nature, we default into rejecting the Lord. We follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. And like the Israelites, instead of contending for the faith, for fighting for it, and by faithfully praying and reading God's word, instead of all of these things, we're inclined to rather take the easy way out. We grumble, complain, we go through the motions, and we feed into our fleshly desires. We are in like manner as Adam was, with our spirits at enmity with the Lord. We are like the Israelites, slow to cut off any sin and doubt that is found within us. And rather than fighting for the truth, we allow ourselves to be persuaded and lulled away by the lies of sin. Our flesh wants to be lied to. And we love to be told that sin is no big deal, that we can venture off in our own way and do our own things. But Jude gives a different message. Jude says that we must fight, contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude then briefly moves on to use Sodom and Gomorrah as the next example. And he does this in order to show how the stakes are high. This is not some trivial matter, for this is life and death. This is destruction in one hand, and it is eternal blessings of the Father in the other. See what the outcome of sin is. Look and see what happens when you let sin go unchecked, or when you rebel against God and you refuse to repent. For when you don't call upon the Lord, your outcome, like Sodom and Gomorrah, is destruction. Your outcome is that city. And not just in a physical sense, dear friends, but rejection of the Lord is destruction spiritually. And it's an eternal destruction where the worm does not die and where the fire is not quenched. Oh, Jude says, how you would therefore contend for the faith. Press on to the glory and the strength of the Lord. And before we finally get to the glorious conclusion of Jude's letter, he once more uses the angels themselves as a negative example for us. For he does that by calling our attention to the fallen angels. Angels and demons are proof in themselves that fighting for the faith is an imperative for everyone. For Jude would have us remember how Satan himself, and along with all of the fallen angels and demons, they were all once perfect and beautiful. They were themselves glorious creatures of light. And may that be a sobering thought for all of us here. Even the angels who dwelt in the glorious presence of God were not immune to falling away. Satan himself had let pride pull him from the graces of God. And if that's true, then certainly, Jude says, we should have to fight all the more to hold fast to the truth. For if the angels are not immune to falling away, then how much more are we, as fallen men and women, prone to fall away ourselves? Well, dear friends, I think the answer is obvious. If no one in the entire cities of Sodom and Gomorrah could do it, if Adam and Eve couldn't do it, if the Israelites couldn't do it, and if the angels themselves couldn't do it, then how much less are we able to ourselves? Where does this leave both you and me this morning? But that's when Jude picks it up, concluding in verse 24 in our epistle reading. For he then was led to burst out in a glorious doxology. He breaks out in praise and worship. He opens his mouth in a glorious song, saying, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to him who is able to present you blameless before the presence of God with great joy, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority now and forever." Jude wants us to contend for the faith, but ultimately, he knows that it is the Lord alone who can keep us from stumbling. Jude would have us fight for the faith, to remain steadfast in prayer, to always be lifting up thanksgiving to God. He would have us to read and meditate on God's word, to continue meeting with one another for love and encouragement. Jude would not want us to be passive in our faith. But ultimately, he says, praise be to God that we are in his hands. and he shall surely not let us stumble. He is able to present you blameless before the Father. Though we may jump into the mire and into the muck of sin, Jesus is able to wash you clean by the pure waters of baptism and by the blood of the Lamb. See how Jude is maintaining these two truths simultaneously. We have responsibility to remain steadfast and fight. And so he commands us to repent and do good works. But at the same time, he's recognizing that it is God who works within us. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us and who sanctifies us. Continue praying for the Spirit to remove sin and all of its desires within you. Continue praying to cast out doubts and fears. And all the while, lean solely upon the graces of God, for he alone can keep you from stumbling. Rely upon him and reject all false gospels. Even as others fall around you, lean upon Christ alone, and he shall not let you go. See what the Lord says out of the mouth of Paul, saying, "No one can snatch them out of my hands. For they are mine," Jesus says. "They belong to me. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? For it is God who justifies. God himself has declared you righteous. God himself has justified you by dying on the cross in your place. Your debts have been paid. Your sins have been washed. And though they are red as crimson, they have been made white as snow. For in Christ you have been made perfect, clean, and righteous in his sight." He says to search for your sins, and you will not find them. What glory and wonder, dear friends, belongs to our God. For surely we should not hesitate to crown him then the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May he rule over your hearts and minds this day and forevermore. May he have all of me, and may he have all of you, as we lean upon Christ and his sovereign reign. For truly he shall rule in perfect love and authority, and he shall hold you near to his heart, holding you steadfast in the faith and in his own hands. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Most Holy Father, we thank you for your precious gifts. We thank you for life and salvation. And most of all, we thank you for our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is to us our all in all. Lead us to cherish your Son and the saving work that he has accomplished for us on the cross. Put in us a hopeful longing for the day when you will come again to once and for all bring us to yourself. Lead us to look on with joyful hope for the festive day when we will see you face to face and when we will live in your glorious presence for all eternity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, you are a God who speaks. You are a God who makes himself known. And you are a God who has spoken to us. Lead us to cherish your word and to hold it sacred. Lead us to read, learn, and inwardly digest it. And as we meditate on your word, bring us to a greater understanding and knowledge of you. Speak to our hearts and minds to conform us into the image of your Son. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of strength and might, in your hands you hold the galaxies. You are sovereign in all of your ways, and you bring your plans to fruition. We pray that you would continue to keep us steadfast. Move your spirit within us that we may continue to have zeal and passion for your truth. Put within us a hunger for you, for your ways, and for your word. And as false doctrines arise, and as lies and sinful pleasures seek to lead us astray, keep us steadfast, and move our hearts and minds to cling and trust solely in you as the giver of all good things. You alone are righteous, and you alone are from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, you are a wise and mighty healer. You are the wonderful counselor. And so we lift before your gracious throne all who are hurting in mind, body, and spirit, especially those who belong to your flock, those who cannot be with us in person, and those who are on our hearts and minds this morning. Especially we include David Nelson, a friend of Mary Yokley, this morning, as he is going into testing this week, some medical testing. Lord, we ask that you would continue to be with him and to give him good results. We lift all of these before you, entrusting them into your care. We pray that your will would be done as you continue to work all things together for good. And as you work all things according to your wisdom, love, and power, lead us to glorify you and to rejoice that your ways are good. You are holy and perfect in all that you bring to pass. May we bear witness to the world the peace that surpasses understandings and the peace that comes from you alone. And in all situations, may we lift your name on high and sing praises to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. At this time, you may be seated as we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand for the service of the sacrament? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "I drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Would you please stand? Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.